Good morning. How's everyone this fine day? Doing well, I hope. What a nice day it was today, though. Nice and cool. Got up for a walk yesterday. Looking forward to another nice day today. So let's start off with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. We get to look into your word and to help us to understand it better, to help us to get to know you better, and that we can understand and learn from you in your ways, and that we can be more fruitful in spreading the word and the gospel of your soon coming kingdom. I give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, finishing up chapter 20. A little bit of a promise coming, hopeful thing the Lord is going to give the people to let them know that this punishment won't last forever. So I titled this one, The Lord Will Restore Israel. And we know that he did. I remember this is 590 BC is where we're at about right now. And so a couple of more years and Jerusalem will actually fall and are already in the captivity. So the 70 years of captivity are already happening. It's been, I think they're about 5 years into the captivity by this point, five or six. And so that, another 65 years, so you might as well settle in, get comfortable, raise crops, raise your families, so on. And that's God's whole goal, is accept your punishment, and we'll move on from there. So let's jump into the word. Starting at verse 33, as we left off at verse 32. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm. I always envision that stretched out arm as in the Lord's going to be welcoming us back into his loving arms. And with fury poured out will I rule over you. And he's, I'm looking forward to that day myself to have a real caring person as our government leader, more or less, instead of all these wannabe dictators. I know we call it a democracy, or a, I guess we're better known as a republic, but that the Isles of Power still enjoy their prestige, whereas someday when God is our government, for sure, it'll be fair, it'll be, and everybody will be treated with a loving spirit. So it sounds, that may sound difficult for some, will I rule over you, but that's a welcoming rule, I think. As most people will realize once they get into it, that it's really better off with him in charge than it is with us or anyone that is human. But going back to Ezekiel 8, this will happen no matter how much you complain. So, all right, move on. I don't know why I put that in there. I'm trying to remember what I was thinking when I did that. Oh, with a mighty hand, with fury poured out will I rule over you. I think I was misunderstood that a little bit. I'm going to skip that verse. Go on to verse 34. I was thinking about the wrath again. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I think when he says that with a fury poured out, it means that he's no longer upset that, you've taken your punishment and that I want to welcome you with my loving arms back into the good graces with me. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. as a reminder of what happened in the wilderness, that of land of Egypt. We review it over Numbers 14, 21 through 23. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. This is the other time. Also in verses 28 and 29. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. This is a reflection back again to when they disobeyed God in the wilderness after all the miracles they gave him. So here God is also reminding them that just like your fathers, you have to accept your punishment also. Verse 37, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Very fascinating verse. I did a little research on passing under the rod. So I got some verses. I'll spend a few minutes on this passage. And over in Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curse thee, and then thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Leviticus 27:32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. This is one of the first verses on tithing, where a tenth part of what the Lord blesses you with is his, and to be returned to him. That's what he's mean by be holy unto the Lord. Jeremiah 33:13. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and the places about Benjamin, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judea, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. So again, this is all leading up to basically something that Jesus also said in Matthew 25. Starting at verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations. So this is what passing under the rod is. And he shall separate them one from another, as a sheepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the sheep. Then in verse 41, it goes through a whole list of what the good people do. And in verse 41, then he comes in and he's talking about the goats. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So basically what happened is that passing under the rod, a shepherd, when he was standing at his at the gate to the sheepfold, is that he would use his rod to guide the sheep into the sheepfold. And during that period of time, he would count them and sort them and examine them. And it'd also be a time that he blocks the goats, that he wouldn't allow the goats into the sheepfold. So that's more or less what's being symbolized here in verse 37, is it about passing under the rod. Okay, verse 38 of Ezekiel 20. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and that's the goats, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So once the punishment is over, only ones are going to be accepted back into the land are the sheep, and not the goats, and to use the symbology there. And so verses that support purging over in Amos 9, 9, and 10. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. And the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. So the ones that are refused to follow the Lord's commandments will be killed with the sword. Zechariah also comments on this in 13, 8 and 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold. That's a great sentence right there. Let's just unpack that for a second. Now, basically, that when the Lord allows us to go through tribulation, it's to refine us, it's to make us stronger, it's to get us ready for the kingdom of God. And so don't always look down on trials in a negative way. Try to see what God is trying to teach you, and that you're going to come out better in the end. So just like silver and gold, when they're refined, they put them in the fire and they heat them up. And what happens is that all the impurities in the gold come to the surface, and they can chip them away. They call it a dross. And that's how they refine gold and silver. And so the Lord is going to do the same thing with us. He's going to put us through the fire. That's symbolic for putting us through trials and training. And sometimes it's not pleasant when we're going through it, but it always makes us better in the end. So I always try to keep that in mind. And trust me, I've been through a few definite trials with my heart. And I know that now I know that the Lord was refining me and getting me to a place he needed me to be. And I praise him and I thank him so much for it. But like I've heard some commentaries say, I sure don't want to go through that again. So learn from those trials so that the Lord doesn't have to repeat them. And also in Psalms 95:11, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So this is another confirmation that there's going to be those that are not allowed into, when he says rest here, it's like we were talking about yesterday, about coming into the Sabbath rest. The Lord's not going to, the Sabbath rest being the ultimate Sabbath rest is when the Lord takes us to heaven. And so that Psalm here is saying that, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. Okay, Ezekiel 20:39. You're not talking about other gods. As you notice, as for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name, no more with your gifts and with your idols. So again, God's reminding him that he's not going to allow anyone in that serves other gods, so you might as well just go serve those other gods. I like something it says over in Judges 10:14. Go and cry unto the gods. Notice that God has a liturgy, not the real one. This is the fake gods, which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of tribulation. It's basically God saying, you want to serve those gods? Go ahead. But when you really need something, don't come back to me. Go to them. Which they don't exist, so they're not going to find anything. It reminds me of that... if you've ever seen the movie Ten Commandments, that final scene where Pharaoh has got his son in his arms and he's pleading with that statue that's along the side to save his son, and he lays his son on the lap. It's kind of sad in a way that the Pharaoh actually believed that that fake god of stone was going to save his son. But in reality, that's exactly a perfect picture of what we're talking about here. Is that if you turn to the one true God, and you're going to be a whole much better. But those ones of stone, they can't do much for you. We're in Zechariah 8:20-22. Is a compliment verse for this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall not yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. So this is a better day coming. This is the time frame that the Lord is saying that this day will come. Verse 41 of Ezekiel 20. I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country from which I lifted up my hand to give to your fathers. So again, this is talking about the coming time frame when the Lord is going to allow them back into the land. And biblically, that happens about 70 years or 65 years from now. And it's in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah is where that happens for further reading. But we got a long ways to go yet in Ezekiel. But once we reach one certain portion of Ezekiel, it's going to be all future. And that'll be about chapter 35 or 6, I think it is, when we get into the dry bones prophecy. Okay, some complement verses for Ezekiel. Oh, speaking of 30s, this is 34:13. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. And also in Ezekiel 36:24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. That's a prophecy right there, because that doesn't actually happen. It happens at a small scale now, but it's also speaking futuristic also of the regathering that's happening right now. Speaking of in the dry bones prophecy. Okay, back to Ezekiel 20:43. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings, wherein you have been defiled. And ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. Interesting symmetry here of when the Lord uses the term forest and trees. Whenever he uses that symbology, it's standing for a forest would be a city, because obviously forests have lots of trees. And cities have lots of people. And then when he says trees, he's talking about the people in those cities. So here, it says, Son of man, set thy face toward the south and drop the word toward the south. And I would speak to the south and prophesy against the forest of the south field. And what God's telling Ezekiel to do here is that where Ezekiel is now is basically north of Israel. It's along the Chaldea River, and that Jerusalem is actually due south. So that's what God's saying here, is to turn your face towards the south. So in other words, he's turning his face towards the inhabitants of Israel, who haven't been taken yet. And it doesn't necessarily mean he went there to do it, but I think it's symbolic. Cry and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people. It shall be upon all the princes of Israel. Terrors by reason of this sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh. Okay, that's a verse that talking about dropping the word. I'm trying to remember why I put that. Cry and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people. Upon all the princes of Israel, terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh. I don't remember exactly. I put in there about dropping the word. Oh, wait, I got the wrong verse. That's why. 21:2. Let's try that again. Okay, here we go. Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem. Okay, I wanted to indicate which why he was turning his face towards the south, and drop thy word toward the holy places, and prophecy against the Land of Israel. Okay, that's better. I grabbed the wrong verse. Okay, back to Ezekiel 20:47. And here we got a few idioms that I'll try to explain. And say to the forest, okay, there's the city of the people of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. So whenever he uses fire or kindle a fire, that's about sending war and destruction. So over in Ezekiel 15:6 helps us understand this. Talking about the trees being people, and he's going to burn them up using a war. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them, and they shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. That's basically saying that this is kind of describing the first siege and the second siege. And that you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. Actually, I should say the first siege was before, it's when they took Daniel. The second siege is when they took Ezekiel. And then the final war will be, against the final battle will be coming up soon. And that'll actually destroy, and where he's going to destroy all the people, what he's talking about here. And I will make the land desolate because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. Now, talking about, you might say, green trees and dry trees. And it also talks about high trees in this verse and low trees. So basically those stand for is green trees are youth, young people. Dry trees are old people. High trees would be leaders. And low trees are servants. And we kind of see this a little bit in Ezekiel 17:24. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, and I was brought up the servants and the people that are servants, but they've brought down the high tree, which is the leaders who are doing wrong, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. So I've taken the youth out, but I've given the older and wiser folks to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Kind of neat symbology. I like it. Okay, by verse 48. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Verse 49. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? And I thought I'd mention that this word parables, I know most of us probably understand what it says, but I found a great verse in Matthew 13, 10 through 14, that really explains what he means by, is that they're basically saying to, because he's using the symbology of the trees and the fire and all that stuff, that's like a parable. And so that the people that are actually, that Ezekiel is telling us to, is saying, Oh Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? Is he telling stories? Well, let me explain parables a little bit. And Matthew, Jesus here explains them. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered, that's Jesus, and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Elias, when said, By hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. So I think that basically what's being said here in in Ezekiel is that God is using a parable because only the people that are in tune with God are going to understand what it means. And I see that now. It's amazing because, you know, I see all this stuff happening that's that is so prophecy, the prophecies we've been seeing in Revelation happening almost on a daily basis around the world. And it really is interesting to me that the countries involved in like Ezekiel 38 don't seem to realize it. I don't seem to think that that what they're actually doing real time was prophesized way back over 2,000 years ago. And it's fascinating to me how they don't seem to put the two together. So it's almost like God has put a blinder on them that they don't understand what the Bible is actually saying. One other verse in John 16:25, here the Lord also, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. And that's what I kind of, you know, I was talking to a friend today, as a matter of fact, or yesterday, that about the same thing, how it just seems weird that as Christians, we seem to get it. But that those non-Christians, people that don't have a relationship with the Lord yet, seem to be somewhat blinded to what's going on around them. And I find it very fascinating. So that's all I had for today, and a little bit shorter session. And so we'll get into chapter 21 tomorrow. Let me end with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time looking at your word. Oh, and Lord, thank you so much for the vision you give us, Lord, that we can understand your word and that we can apply it to our lives. And please help us to spread the word and to get more to understand and to look to you for their guidance, and that we can be ever helping to expand the kingdom. And you give us blessings every day in that way. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, I will talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great day.